I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
Some people say there is no God up in the heavens. They say he did not send his son for us to die. They mock his name, and to their shame they live without him. But I believe in God, and I can tell you why. His hand created all the stars and light the heavens. His tender touch brought forth the beauty of a rose. His love so free he gave to me, that's why I praise him.
Amen. Thank you, Sharon Singers, for opening today's program with that thrilling song of testimony. And thank you, my friend, for tuning in for today's edition of The Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. I'm delighted to have you join me as we look into the Word of God together. You know, we've just begun the year 2021, and as we look into the future and contemplate what lies ahead, we need hope. There's so much turmoil and uncertainty in our world, so much violence and hatred and strife, so much despair and hopelessness. But if your God is real, like mine is, then there is hope. Not only is there hope, but there's also an excitement and anticipation. Do you know what causes that excitement and anticipation for me? It's God's promises. God has never made a promise he doesn't intend to keep. We have his promise that where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. I believe we can expect some powerful manifestations of that promise in this year of 2021. And my friend, I invite you and urge you to be a part of what God is doing. Now, in just a few moments, we will continue our study in the New Testament book of James. We're finding this study to be very practical. James is writing to Christ followers, explaining how you and I should live out our salvation. Our works should give evidence of the change that has taken place in our hearts. So I hope you can stay tuned for my teaching, The Road to Honor. When I travel by auto to a place that I've never been before, I like to preview the directions before I leave. I usually open the Google Maps app on my phone and request directions by entering my starting point and my destination. And then the software figures out for me the best route to take. It also gives me the actual distance in mileage, and it estimates how much time it will take to drive that distance. Then, along with the directions, I can choose several options, things like the shortest route or the fastest route, and they're not always the same, overview maps, step-by-step maps, and more. Wherever we travel, there are multiple ways to get there. We like choices. We like multiple options. But you know, there's a danger in becoming accustomed to having those multiple options, because we can transfer that kind of thinking over to spiritual things. There's a common perception in our culture, and even in organized religion, that there are a variety of ways one can take to find acceptance with God. But for those of us who accept the Bible as the authoritative Word of God, we know there is only one way to God, and that is through His Son, Jesus Christ. In today's study, we'll look at a subject that's often misunderstood. It's the subject of honor. Our culture has a different definition for this word than we Christ followers do, or at least they have a different perspective on how to attain honor. And incidentally, their perspective has an influence on us. Our text for today is James chapter 4 and verses 7 to 12. In keeping with the opening illustration, and in harmony with the text, I've titled the message, The Road to Honor. So listen carefully as I read these verses from the Scripture, James chapter 4 and verses 7 to 12. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? As we travel the highways of our country, signs by the side of the road or overhead give us direction for our travel. Reflecting on this text, we will observe together several signposts that direct us along the road to honor. The first signpost on the road to honor is yield. The triangular red and white sign with the word yield is a very familiar sight to anyone who's ever traveled on a major highway. You know, it seems that many drivers today don't know what the yield sign means, or at least they don't know how to obey it, but that's not our subject. Yielding isn't a popular concept in our contemporary society. I'm old enough to notice how changes in our culture have caused changes in things like our driving habits. A yield sign on the entrance ramp once meant that you would adjust your speed to ease in with the flow of traffic that was already on the highway. But today, many drivers expect those already in the flow of traffic to adjust to them. I've gotten more than one dirty look for maintaining my speed and my lane position while passing by an entrance ramp. James gets us started on the road to honor with the concept of yield. Actually, he uses the word submit, and that's a word that's even more disliked than the word yield. He says, submit yourselves therefore to God. The word therefore takes us back to the previous verse, which says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You know, resisting God is a losing proposition. Submitting to God means we yield to His control. We obey His commands. We make our desires subordinate to His. We find success in learning His wishes and then doing our best in fulfilling them. Now, that certainly is not the formula our culture would approve to travel the road to honor. No, their way is found in the verses that we looked at last week. Push, shove, step on other people, fight your way to the top. And you know, unfortunately, that is the way of too many who profess to follow Christ. And once again, I remind you, James is writing what he is writing to those who are Christ followers. Why is it that we find it so difficult to submit to God and so easy to follow the cultural practice of putting ourselves forward? Well, first of all, it's our carnal, fleshly, sinful nature. Just because we've received the forgiveness of our sins through the blood of Jesus Christ, our fleshly habits and thought patterns don't just fall away like our dead skin cells do. Learning how to yield to God and accepting the lordship of Christ is a process. And that's why we need the second part of this verse. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. See, Satan knows how to appeal to our fleshly desires. Submit and resist are both verbs. They are words of action. And neither of them is easy or natural unless we reverse them. Because in our fallenness, we find it easy to resist God's commands and to yield to Satan's temptations. But James tells us it must be the other way around. In my experience, that takes effort. It takes work. And that work is an expression that our faith is authentic and living. And then our difficulty is further complicated because we don't have a proper understanding of what honor really is. Our dictionaries define honor as a good name or reputation, one whose worth brings respect or fame, or a person of superior standing. All of these play into the idea that if we just push our way to the top of the economic or corporate or social ladder, then we'll have honor. But do you know the path to honor the Bible lays out for followers of Christ? Jesus' disciples got into a discussion a couple of times about who would receive the position of honor in Jesus' kingdom. You remember what he said to them? Whoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. That's Matthew 20:26 to 28. So if you want to be great in God's sight, you must learn to be a servant. And a servant doesn't have his own agenda. His desire is to find out what the master wants and then use all of his energies to accomplish it. If you and I are going to make any progress on the road to honor, the first signpost we will need to obey is the command to yield. Yield to God. The second signpost on the road to honor is merge. This sign is closely related to the first one. You'll see both of them, especially in the area of entrance ramps on the highway. Road construction on major highways is often announced by a large electronic sign that flashes a warning. When there are lane closings, the sign will flash a message like, "Use both lanes to the merge point." When you get closer to the lane closing, another sign is posted that says, "Merge here, take your turn." Now, in order to merge or join in the flow of traffic, you have to know how to yield. James puts it this way. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. This is where I get the signpost of merging. To merge means to join one thing to another. Merging means you're no longer outside the mainstream. You're now part of the larger group. When there's a merging of companies in the corporate world, generally, one of those companies yields or gives up its identity. The two entities become one, and then they're known by a single name. So how does this concept of merging work out as we follow the road to honor? The second part of verse 8 provides practical applications that begin with cleansing. Since James is writing to Christ followers, I don't believe the cleansing that he's talking about here is the cleansing of salvation. That has already taken place. James is talking about the kind of cleansing that Jesus spoke about when he told Peter, "The one who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is clean in every way." 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And notice this cleansing specifically mentions the hands. James says, cleanse your hands, you sinners. And what are your hands used for? We use our hands for grasping. But we also know that our hands don't control themselves. They're controlled by our mind and by our will. So I see in this command a reference to our motives. If we are truly going to become one with our Lord, to merge with him on the road to honor, then we need to bring our motives into line with his. The final part of verse 8 is, purify your hearts, you double-minded. If we want to merge with Christ on the road to honor, we need to get rid of those things that cause us to have a divided allegiance. When Elijah confronted the children of Israel and the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, he said, how long do you halt or vacillate between two opinions? They were trying to have it both ways, trying to serve God and serve Baal. Unfortunately, that's where many professing Christ followers are today. They're double-minded. They're trying to serve Christ and trying to follow the world. But it won't work. James says, if we're going to merge with our Lord and Savior, we need to strive to become single-minded and allow His Spirit to clean out the worldly junk at the core of who we are. We've got to lay down our plans and fit ourselves into His plans. If we don't, we'll find ourselves right back in the first four verses of this chapter. The next signpost, then, on the road to honor is U-turn. I'm sure you noticed in your driving that there are some signs that read, no U-turns. And then there are others that say, U-turns permitted. Maybe you're wondering where I see U-turns in this text. Well, let's take a look at verses 9 and 10. What do the actions listed in verse 9 call to mind? What do you call it when you humble yourself in the presence of the Lord with mourning and tears and sorrow? The first word that comes to my mind is repent. And what does it mean to repent? It means to make a U-turn. You were going the wrong way, and now you turn and go the opposite way, the right way. Oh, how we need the spirit of repentance in the church today. So much of modern worship is loud music and shouting and emotional highs. That's not all wrong. But where is the mourning for the blatant, in-your-face disregard for God's commands by those who claim to be His followers? Where is the weeping over lost opportunities and resources squandered on making ourselves feel good and look good in the eyes of the world? Where's the sadness that comes from the realization that our lifestyle choices have crucified the Lord Jesus afresh and put him to shame before unbelievers? I know that message isn't popular today, but it is the Word of God. Did you notice verse 10? The road to honor leads through humility, through repentance. Why is that true? Because it's only when we see ourselves as God sees us that we can be truly honored by Him. I know that is totally opposite from what we think is logical, but it is biblical. Those in the world pursue the logical way, and they pursue it to their own destruction. Their honor is only temporary. Once they're dead and gone, most of them are soon forgotten. But what about the righteous ones who choose God's road to honor? Daniel 12:3 says, "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." Did you catch the angel's word to Daniel? He mentioned those who turn others to righteousness. That's the kind of honor I want. How about you? And then the final signpost on the road to honor is caution. Caution is a word of warning. Go slow. Be careful. Verses 11 and 12 contain a warning for us as we continue traveling the road to honor. In our humanity, we're tempted to think we can gain honor at the expense of someone else. We have the mistaken notion that bringing someone down will lift us up. But in the final two verses of our text, James dispels that notion. He cautions us not to fall for this error because of the serious implications that arise. Isn't it interesting how often you and I want to pass judgment on someone for the very thing we struggle with in our own lives? If we pronounce judgment on our brother, we are putting ourselves in a place of authority that doesn't belong to us. We're actually taking the place of God. And James asks the question, who are you to put yourself in the position of judge? God alone is able to fully know the thoughts and the motives of our brother's heart. Now, does that mean we can't confront a brother or sister when we see sin in their lives? Of course not. But the spirit in which we approach them makes a huge difference. If we want to restore them, which is the biblical goal, we don't speak in judgment. We speak in love and sincerity. We're not trying to gain position for ourselves by putting them down or putting them in a negative light. We're attempting to restore them to their position in Christ. You know, I've observed that being a peacemaker won't win you many friends, because people on either side of the issue will accuse you of taking sides. You may be vilified instead of honored. But when you and I humbly do what we can to promote reconciliation in the right spirit, God will honor that. And you know, that's what really matters. Now that we've looked at these signposts on the road to honor, each of us has a choice to make. We can continue to seek honor the way the world does, by ignoring these signposts and putting ourselves forward. Or we can seek honor God's way by humbling ourselves and following these signposts: yield, merge, U-turn, and caution. Following these signs will allow God to bring honor to us in His time. So which road to honor will you choose? Heavenly Father, thank you for those signposts you've given us to guide us on the road to honor. Help us to willingly submit ourselves to you. Grant us grace to cheerfully give up our own agenda so our lives can merge with your plans for us. Bless us with the spirit of repentance, the ability to realize when we've strayed from the path of truth, and then the courage to turn around. Make us sensitive to the cautions of the Holy Spirit as we relate to each other in the body of Christ, the church. Teach us how to humble ourselves in your sight so you can lift us up. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. My friend, has today's program challenged or encouraged you? If it has, we'd like to hear from you. We always appreciate hearing from our listeners. There are several ways you can contact us. You can send an email to us at hope@heraldsofhope.org, or call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. Or mail your request to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And if you'd like a copy of the teaching you heard today, it's available either in print or on an audio CD. Just ask for it by its title, The Road to Honor. Or you can log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and you can listen to this teaching whenever it fits your schedule. If you want to connect with us on social media, just search for Heralds of Hope and follow us on our various social media platforms. Now, once again, you can send your request for a copy of this teaching to our email address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. By mail, The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 866-960-0292 and ask for your copy of the teaching, The Road to Honor. If you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter, or you can donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org, or by calling our toll-free number, 866-960-0292. We do depend upon God's grace, your fervent prayers, and your generous financial support to help keep the Voice of Hope on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now, friend, I hope you can join me next week as we continue our study in the book of James. And until we meet again,
Christian, do not seek repose. Cast your dreams of ease away. You are in the midst of foes. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Wicked forces, evil powers, gathered in unseen array. They wait for your unguided hours. Watch and pray. Watch and pray.
Put your heavenly armor on. Wear it always night and day.
Serve him and obey. Treasure in your heart his word. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Watch as if on that alone, on the issue of the day, shall be won.